so lift your hands to him and thank him. He is your sufficiency this morning. Whatsoever your need may be, you are in the right place. Because it is in the presence of the Lord that we can have our needs met. What man cannot do for us, Jesus can do for us in the twinkling of an eye. He is still the same Jesus that raised the dead while he was here on earth. He cleansed the lepers. He opened blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He did extraordinary things. He fed thousands with just a few fish and loaves of bread. He is Jesus, the Son of God. And he has not lost his ability to make the difference in everyone's life that comes to him. We are here this morning for him to make the difference in our lives. And we thank God that we are not going back home the same way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So let's turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 53. Thank God for this prophecy of Isaiah, which Jesus Christ came to the earth to fulfill. And over 2,000 years ago, he fulfilled this prophecy to the letter. Not one verse of this prophecy of Isaiah failed. Everything was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And we can read Isaiah 53 today with a better understanding than those who read it before Jesus came. Because many that read it before Jesus came did not clearly understand what God was saying. Only a few had an understanding clearly. But now, those of us who are in Christ, who already fulfilled the scriptures, and we have a spirit of understanding in us, we can look back to Calvary and appreciate what Jesus did for us. And every penalty he paid for our redemption. You see, thank God for the truth that makes us free. Isaiah 53, let us read together from verse 1 to verse 5. Let's go. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen and amen. We give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his marvelous kindness and his unparalleled love. Now, look at what Bible says there first in verse 4, before we back up to the first verse. And this is why we are now in a better condition to understand that what Jesus did on the cross, he did for us. He did for our benefit. Because here, Isaiah prophesying also told us how people will misunderstand the purpose for which Christ suffered. Verse 4 says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That is the truth. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That is the error that many people heard concerning Jesus' sacrifice and work of redemption. A lot of people remember, as the Gospels record, while he was, you know, being led to the cross, several kinds of mockery were rained against him. Some people actually said, well, he saved others. Can't he save himself? While he was on the cross, some mocked him and said, well, if you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross so that we can believe you. All kinds of things. Even one of the thieves, one of the two thieves that was crucified with him, mocked him. But thank God for the other one, he was wiser. You know, because a lot of people looked at him and thought, well, he was simply paying the price for all his atrocities that he had committed. He had sinned. He had rebelled against God. Even the Pharisees thought he was a false preacher. Some even called him, you know, chief of the devil, that he was using the spirit of the devil to do his works. All kinds of things. And so while he was suffering, they thought, well, that was what he deserved, because he had preached heresy, in quote, as far as they were concerned. How can he say he's the Son of God? How can he say that? How can he say he forgives people of sin? That is the height of heresy. Because no man has power to forgive somebody of sin. Only God. You see, they did not understand that Jesus was God himself in the flesh. And so he had power to forgive sins. Because he created man. Bible says there was nothing created that was not created by him. So they looked at him as just somebody who tried to mess up the religious order of the Pharisees that was set in place before he came. A lot of them were more interested in religion and traditions of men. That was the order of the day, which Jesus came to expose as being false. Because it is the truth that came from heaven in order to show man how to really please God. So Isaiah helped us to understand that people would not understand, or several people would not understand what Jesus was doing while he went to the cross for us. But thank God some understood. Those who had a heart for God, they understood him. Many of the prophets of old, of course, had a clear understanding of the Messiah that was to come. And even amongst the people, there were some that really knew that the Messiah would come, and they were waiting for him. And when they saw him, they knew that that was the Messiah. You see, even the woman at the well of Samaria, after she had spoken to Jesus, she left her bucket, Bible says, and ran into town and called everybody to come and see the prophet, that this must be the one, this must be the Messiah that should come, because he has told me everything about me. See, so some knew him as the Messiah. And they understood that he would suffer in order for us to be free from the penalty of sin that Adam brought us into. And so, while others were not understanding his mission, we can clearly see it today and say, thank God, as verse 4 says, surely. Please underline that key word in your Bible, surely. Surely. Surely means don't doubt it. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Just believe it with all your heart. If God says surely, then there is no room for doubting. God cannot lie. If God tells you something is sure, you better just say, yes, Lord, I agree with you. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I think. I don't care what any other person may say. I believe you with all my heart that surely, 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 100%ly, he had born. Now notice that even though Isaiah was prophesying something that was yet to happen here on earth, he put it in past tense. He didn't say, he will come and bear. He said he had born. He has done it. He has done it already. But he has not come to the earth yet. How come he has already done it? Well, he already did it in the spirit. He concluded it. He finished it in the spirit from the foundation of the world, Bible says. And then he came to the earth to fulfill here on earth what was already fulfilled in the spirit. And when he hung on that cross and said it is finished, he was simply saying, well, I've come to the earth to do it as it is already done in heaven. Now it's left for us to believe with all our heart that truly, 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 it is a done deal. Not something to be done, but something already done. Already done. Say to your neighbor, it's already done. Jesus has already done it for you. Amen. So surely he hath, past tense, he had borne our griefs. The word translated griefs there literally means sicknesses. He had borne. He himself has carried our sicknesses. Oh, someone may say, well, if he carried my sicknesses, how come I still have them? Well, again, remember, he first of all did it in the spirit before he came to do it in the physical. He first of all did it in the spirit before he came to do it in the physical. He first of all did it in the spirit. Bible says Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Even before Adam was made. Why? Because God knew Adam was going to sin even before he created him. And so God proceeded to make sacrifice for sin before he made man that would sin. Now what is the implication of that to me? Well, if I have sickness in my physical body, I have to release my faith in the fact that I already have the liberty from that sickness in the spirit, and that faith is what will make what is settled in the spirit to become manifest in my physical body. It's the same process by which Jesus brought us redemption. He did it in the spirit, and then he came to the physical realm to do it by hanging on the cross. If we are going to enjoy the physical manifestation here, we need faith. You see, that's the key. We need faith to reach into the realm of the spirit where it was done in the first instance, so that nothing can deprive us of having it done in the physical, in our own lives, because Jesus came to the earth to do it for everybody. So if anybody wants it, you have to receive it by faith. Now, before we continue, let me also bring this in here. It's something that we all should know clearly. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. When Jesus died on the cross, did he die for your own sins alone or for the sins of the whole world? We all know the answer, don't we? For God so loved the world. Not just you and me alone. God loved the whole world. And he gave Jesus for the whole world. How come the whole world is not saved today? Because they've not believed it. That's all. Jesus has already done it in the spirit. He hung on the cross for everybody in the world, including children that are yet to be born. As long as this earth remains, every person that will be born into this world, Jesus already died for their sins on the cross. But for anyone to partake of the benefit of what Jesus did in their life individually, they will have to have faith and receive it. In John chapter 1, Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who merely believed on his name. You see the key? You have to believe. You have to have faith instead of walking in your human understanding and saying, how come I still have the sickness? If Jesus carried my sickness, how come I still have it? Well, you need faith to receive it. It's as simple as that. Just like anybody needs faith today to become a Christian or be born again. All they need to do is just believe, because Jesus already paid the price for their own sin too. As much as he paid the price for your sins and my sins, he paid the price for every sinner in the world. If we can identify the worst sinner today in all the world, Jesus already paid the price for that person's sin. But for that person to be a partaker of the redemption that Jesus purchased for all the world, he or she would have to believe and then receive that through faith. The redemption belongs to all. You see, that's the key. In fact, turn with me to that scripture I just quoted in John chapter 1. You see, all we need is to believe. And the same sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was for sin and for sickness and for everything under the curse of the law. One sacrifice paid the price for all our redemption. So we don't need to think that, all right, well, what Jesus did was for my sin. Now I have to look for a way out for my sickness. The same sacrifice paid the price for liberty for me from sin, and liberty for me from sickness, liberty for me from all kinds of affliction in all areas of life. Now, again, this is John helping us to understand Jesus and how he would come. Now, verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See the word believe. 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 If you can believe, all things are possible unto him that believes. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Again, key word believe. Now let's go back to Isaiah 53. That is why Isaiah began his prophecy by asking that all important question. Who had believed? Who had believed? So if you have believed, then you are going to see the manifestation of what Jesus came to do for mankind in your own life personally. Each individual will have to believe. And that's why, you know, you cannot just live by somebody else's testimony. You can live by, you know, what others may say about experiences of some other people who are in a similar condition as yours, whether positive or negative. You know, sometimes you hear people, even some well-meaning Christians, but you see, they are well-meaning, but they just lack understanding. That's the problem. They don't clearly understand the scriptures. They have a heart to care for others, but they lack understanding of the ways of God. They may say to you, you know, oh, I used to know someone that was in a condition like yours, you know. And that person was so faithful to God, so dear to God, always diligent in the things of God. And then they had this problem that you have, but they never made it. In fact, it's such a pity that, you know, it's part of what we all just have to go through. We just bear it. It's just part of our cross. We just carry it like that. Well, and then you go and listen to that kind of testimony, and you agree with that view, and you expect not to have victory in your own life just because some other Christian went through what you are going through and they never made it. Well, where is that written in the Bible? That's just somebody's experience. You really don't know how the heart of that person was toward God, whether that person really believed. You see, the person may have works on the outside, you know, going to church diligently, going through the motions of walking with God on the outside, but the heart is far from God in terms of really having settled faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. They might be releasing their faith in their own effort to try and get the victory rather than resting in what Jesus already did for them. You see, faith is a rest. Bible teaches us that those who have believed, they enter into the rest of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, we enter into rest when we believe. We don't try to work it out in our own strength. We simply come on the platform of what Jesus did for us, and we receive by faith the finished work of Jesus in our own life for our own benefit. That's all. That's all. So that person may not have understand how to release faith in the finished work of Christ. They were trying to use their faith to get it in their own effort. You see, you don't get anything from God by your own effort. You only get it through Jesus Christ. That's all. It's as simple as that. None of us is good enough to go before God and say, Father, give it to me because of me. We get it because of Jesus. That's why every prayer we pray, we have to pray in the name of Jesus. We have to pray in the name of Jesus. Because it is only Jesus that pleased God at all points. He never sinned. You and I miss the mark every now and then. So what is our justification based on our own human righteousness? None. Our justification is based on the righteousness of God that was imputed to us because of Jesus Christ that we received into our hearts as our Savior and our Lord. So that is the key. So Jesus came to his own. They did not receive him. But those who received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God because those ones believed on him. Now, Isaiah 53 again. Look at verse 1. That's why Isaiah began by asking that all-important question. Who hath believed our report? That's the question. Who hath believed? Just believe. Just believe with all your heart what God says about Jesus. What God says about his son that is sent into the world to die for our sins. Just believe the report of all that Jesus went through in order to redeem us. Just believe. That's all. Just believe. Just believe that you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ himself. Forget about your feelings. Forget about your human understanding. Just release faith in your heart according as it is written and say, Lord, I agree with your word. I agree with what you said. That's all. So who had believed our report? And to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? You see, the revelation of the hand of the Lord is tied into our believing. The report of the Lord. It's as simple as that. The hand of the Lord there symbolizes the power of God. The power of God that brings us salvation, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit that performs the will of God here on earth. Jesus came from heaven to earth in order to do the will of God, and the Holy Spirit is here on earth today to do the will of God and glorify Jesus Christ. So that is the hem of the Lord. The power of God. You want to see the power of God work for you in areas of your need? Well, you have to believe God's report concerning that aspect of your life in terms of what Jesus has already done for you. That's the key. You have to study the Bible day and night, meditate in it to get yourself to become fully persuaded in your heart. Forget about, you know, just getting the Bible in your head and then your heart is still full of doubt. You have to get your heart to be fully persuaded. That is the key. You have to come to that point of full persuasion. And that only happens by diligent studying and meditating in the word of God day and night. God said to Joshua, you have to do it day and night so that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. In other words, Joshua, if you are not diligent in meditating in the word day and night, you are not going to be a doer of it. You may memorize it, but that's not going to really help you much until you really believe it and act upon it in faith. Thank God for scripture memorizing. But then we have to move to the next step of acting upon what we have memorized. We bring it up in the time of need and act upon it. Then it becomes faith. Because memorizing it doesn't mean you are going to do it until you really make a choice personally to live by the word of God. So every time you believe the report of the Lord, then you are going to see the power of God work for you. Now, let's go back to verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs. So surely he had already borne my sicknesses. The word borne there means literally to carry it. To lift a burden off of somebody and carry it away. So Jesus literally came to lift away from our lives the burden of the curse that came because of the sin of Adam, and Jesus took it away from us. He took it away from us. He took it away from us. And again, in order to experience that in our individual lives, because he did it generally for everybody, so every individual then would have to have faith in that finished work of Jesus, and the power of God, the hand of the Lord, will be revealed in that person's life to minister the blessing and the liberty that Jesus already purchased just because that person believed. That's all. That's all. You have to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you think you are going to fold your hands and the benefits of salvation will just fall on you just like that, you are wasting your time. Because if that's the case, then what's the need of God saying without faith it's impossible to please him? So I don't need to do anything. I don't need faith. I don't need to do anything. I should just fold my hands and God should just do what he has promised me just like that. God doesn't work that way. He has given us promises so that we can respond to him in faith by those promises. And say, God, you said this. I believe it and I'm asking you to do it for me exactly as you said, because my heart is fully persuaded that you cannot lie, and with you all things are possible. See, Abraham in Romans chapter 4, don't turn there. Bible tells us he had to come to that point of full persuasion before he received Isaac. You see, when he himself was not fully persuaded, he tried to help God. He produced Ishmael. And when God rejected Ishmael, he learned from that mistake and came to the point that, well, I don't have to consider the natural evidence anymore. I don't have to consider the deadness of Sarah's womb anymore. I don't have to consider my old age anymore. I must not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. I have to be strong in faith. I have to be fully persuaded that what God has promised he is able also to do. And it was at that point, Bible says, it was counted for righteousness. In other words, his faith was pleasing in God's sight at that point. Because now he believed that what God has promised, God has the ability to perform, even though the natural evidence is saying impossible. He had to release hope in God, even though his case looked hopeless, naturally speaking. Bible says, against hope, he believed in hope so that he might become that which God promised him to become, which is the father of many nations. In many cases, that's how circumstances will appear to us. They will look hopeless. That's the truth about this life that we are living here in this world. We are going to be faced with challenges many times that look insurmountable because we have an adversary, Bible says, called the devil. And he works hard to try to stop us from enjoying what God has already freely given to us in Christ. And that is why we need faith to overcome him, you see. We need faith. We need faith. We should forget about our feelings, forget about our human understanding, and simply believe God's word and trust in God's power to perform his word. Because if you believe, then the hand of the Lord will be revealed. It has nothing to do with what you can do or what any other human being can do. It has everything to do with what God himself, by his own power in Christ Jesus, will do for you, because he has already done these things in the spirit realm. So surely he had borne, he's done it already. So how do I apply that to my life now? This is where faith speaks. So when I have sickness in my body, I don't go about saying, oh, I wonder when I'm going to have the healing. Oh, I wonder who is going to help me with this sickness. Oh, I wonder what doctor will be able to help me overcome this sickness. Because if I'm doing that, I'm going against scripture. I'm saying, well, it is not removed yet. I'm trying to look for how to remove it. But my Bible tells me it has already been removed. So the first step is for me to agree with God in faith and forget about my human understanding and say, mind, you don't know everything. Shut up, mind. God said, Jesus took it from me. Therefore, this sickness cannot remain in my body for long. His days are numbered. Then I can look at that part of my body and say, sickness, your days are numbered. You can't remain here because Jesus took you from me. So I resist you. And in the name of Jesus, I declare my liberty. You know, that was exactly what, if you remember, in the book of Exodus, that was exactly what Moses got the children of Israel to see. They had left Egypt. God had delivered them. They were on the journey into the promised land. And now suddenly, the same Pharaoh that allowed them to go because of God's strong hand suddenly realized that's the way the devil works. Suddenly realized, well, why did I let those people go? No, let me go after them and bring them back into bondage in Egypt. And so he got on his chariot, got his horses and horsemen, and they began to ride in pursuit after the children of Israel. You see, he had let them go because God's hand was strong upon him to release his people. But now he wanted to go and get them back into captivity. That's the way the devil tries to do. He tries to bring back on us what Jesus set us free from. It's the same serpent. But what did Moses say to the people? He said, hey, people, stand still. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God. For these Egyptians that you see today, in other words, you can see them right now. But soon you won't see them anymore forever. Why? Because God has already given you the victory. So you are seeing them right now. You can take a long look at them and say, you won't be there in a short while. I won't see you anymore forever. You see, that's the way faith talks. And didn't God destroy Pharaoh and all his host? They all perished in the Red Sea. The children of Israel made it forward to the promised land. But you see, faith had to be employed in the process of them enjoying the victory. You have to believe God. You have to believe God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because in such a situation, you are looking backwards. The enemy is pursuing you. You look to the right, to the left. There is no way because there is wilderness. You look ahead. There is no way because of the Red Sea. I'm in a tight fix. Who is going to get me out? There is just no way. But God said, go forward. Forward how? Where is the way? Go forward. If you will step out in faith, you will see the way open, because I already made the way for you, you see, through the Red Sea. God already opened the Red Sea in the spirit for them, but they had to believe it here on earth for the Red Sea to open physically for them, and they walked on dry ground. And that same Red Sea that they passed through on their journey forward was the same Red Sea that destroyed all the enemy that was pursuing them. God has a plan to always give you victory, even in the face of difficulties. But you have to believe him. You have to believe him and act on his word. So when sickness comes against your body, don't wonder about how you are going to have the healing. Say, praise God, I'm already healed because Jesus already took this sickness from me. Therefore, what I have now is just the symptom, not the sickness. It is the lie of the devil trying to get me to believe a lie. So I refuse to believe the lies of the devil. I choose to believe the word of God because the Bible says we had believed our report. So I believe the report of God, not the report of the GP, not the report of my own human understanding, not the report of any other human being, but the report of God that says Jesus already took this sickness from me. Therefore, the days of the presence of the symptoms of this sickness in my body are numbered. They cannot remain. They just cannot remain because Jesus took this sickness from me. And when you begin to approach faith from that standpoint, you will be in agreement with God. God always walks by faith from that standpoint. Put your finger right there. We'll come back to it. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 4. We have to understand the way God walks by faith and simply walk exactly the same way in agreement with him. Because two cannot walk together, Bible says, unless they be agreed. Faith is about agreeing with God, not about trying to do it on our own. No, it's about agreeing with God, what God has already done, and receiving it in our lives here in the physical realm, just as God has already done it for us in the realm of the spirit. Now, Romans chapter 4, for the sake of context, I'll read from verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure. Notice that word sure. We read it in verse 4, surely, surely, verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely God has done it, surely. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Notice, when God came to Abram, his name was Abram then, God didn't say, Abram, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham, because I'm going to make you a father of many nations. No, God said, I have already made you the father of many nations. So I'm changing your name from Abraham to Abraham because I've already done it. And at that time, Abraham didn't have Isaac. But God is saying, I've already done it. Why? Because God already finished it in the spirit. That's the way God works. God is spirit. So he finishes things in the spirit and he wants us to believe him here on earth so that what he has already finished for us in the spirit, we may partake of in the physical realm. Now notice what it then says next. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. You see, Abraham had to believe. Now look at the way of faith by which Abraham believed in order to get Isaac. This is the way God also works by faith. Even, please underline your Bible, even God will quicken the dead. In other words, bring back to life what is dead. And, please underline your Bible, and collect those things which be not as though they were. Underline that in your Bible. God calls the things that are not as if they are. That is faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith sees in the realm of the invisible and agrees with God that what God said is so. And therefore, because of that, the power of God is released to make what is in that invisible realm to be made manifest in the physical realm. All of creation that we see today came out of invisible realm through faith. Bible says by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2, by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are in appearance were made from things that were invisible. That's the way God works, because He's spirit, and we have to agree with Him. God will cause the things which be not as though they were. Well, I'm sick in my body. What I need is healing and health. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to focus on the sickness. If I focus on the sickness, that I'm calling what is. I'm trying to make what is as if it is not. That's not faith. Faith does not deny the physical evidence that is there, but it challenges it by reaching into the invisible realm to agree with God's word. So I don't deny the fact that I have pain in my body, if there is pain there. So I'm not going to walk by faith by focusing on the pain, because then that's not the way of faith. According to this scripture, what should I do? I focus on the things that are not. What is not at that point in time? My healing or freedom from pain. So I focus on the freedom from pain, which God promised me in His word. And I begin to act as though the freedom from pain is what I'm really having, rather than the pain itself. Faith called the things that be not as though they were. So instead of sitting down and, you know, nursing the pain and saying, oh, I can't get up because of the pain, I begin to say, praise the Lord. Jesus took my pain. Therefore, I act upon His word. I get up. Initially, it may be a struggle to get up, but you get up. You get up and stand on that feet or foot and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus took my pain. And every step of faith you take, declaring your belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ, releases the power of God to remove that pain from your body. That's the way it works. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? So we see how faith works. Faith calleth the things that be not as though they were. Now back to Isaiah 53 as we begin to round up. So it's all about believing. Believing, believing, believing. That's all. We just have to believe. We have to believe. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word translated sorrows there literally means pains. Pains there have to do with emotional scars, emotional wounds. The pains of afflictions that we go through in life, the disappointments of life. All those bitter experiences of life that weigh us down in the soul, Jesus carried them for us. He carried those burdens for us so that we may be free from them. He carried them. That's why I said whenever we feel them here, we should come unto Him with all those load and burden and roll the cares upon Him. Because He already carried them for us, you see. So, He carried our sicknesses and He carried our pains. So, physical sickness, Jesus set us free from them. Emotional sickness, Jesus set us free from them at the same time that He set us free from sin, you see. That's the key. Verse 5 then says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. Again, that's talking about our sin. And He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Now let us look at two other scriptures before we close. Two other scriptures that were quoted from this passage that we just read in the New Testament to help us understand that Jesus indeed has fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah and what it really means to us. First, Matthew chapter 8, the same sacrifice, set us free from sin and set us free from sickness, physical sickness, emotional sickness, every one of them, we are free from them. So whenever the devil tries to put them on us, we simply release our faith in the fact that Jesus already took them from us. And we expect the outcome to be positive in that situation, rather than wondering, oh, how will it be? Oh, am I going to overcome this or not? No, you must be confident and be bold to say, I praise God. The outcome is good for me. I don't care what the GP diagnosis says. The outcome is good for me because Jesus already took it from me. Thank God Jesus set me free from this sickness. I don't need the report of the GP. I simply believe the report of God. Jesus is my healer. He took it, and I thank him that I'm free in Jesus' name. And then it's time before God and say, God, I just want to thank you that you already took this sickness from me. I want you to know that I'm in agreement with you. I walk by your faith. I call the things that be not as though they were. And I thank you for the power of your hand that prevails for me. As I believe you, I see your hand revealed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's for your glory and for my joy. Amen and amen. And you begin to worship God. And you keep doing that every day. Many times when you do it, you won't see instantaneous change in the realm of the physical. But you see, your faith needs to be tried and tested many times. Just keep holding on to the promises of God in faith. Abraham had to do that for many years before Isaac came in physical manifestation. But he didn't stagger anymore at the promise of God through unbelief. He just began to give glory to God. He began to praise God in faith. He began to praise God, trusting that God has the ability to perform his word. And eventually Isaac came into manifestation. And that's how you're going to get every victory and every fulfillment of God's promises in your life. Just keep walking by faith. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. No matter how long it may seem to be taking, just be steadfast in your declaration of faith according as God has promised in his word. And you will see it fulfilled by God's own hand himself in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. You see, for the sake of context, I'll read it from verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the heaven was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Hallelujah. So Matthew is referring to Isaiah 53 that we just read, and saying what Jesus did on that day in healing Peter's wife's mother and healing many others that were brought to him was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. And as part of that fulfillment, it says, it bear our sicknesses and our infirmities. Hallelujah. The same sacrifice. The same sacrifice for sin. The same sacrifice for sickness. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 also. 1 Peter chapter 2. Also quoting from Isaiah 53. See, Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Matthew, Peter, two witnesses in agreement with Isaiah. So what else do we need as Christians today other than to just believe the report of the Lord and expect God by his own hand to perform his word in our lives? No matter how long it may seem to be taking, we don't doubt God. We believe him. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, for the sake of context, I'll read from verse 22. Or better stay from verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine how, before we read the next verse, imagine how wonderful the church of Jesus would be if every one of us were to walk in the same footsteps of Jesus. When we are reviled, we don't revile back. or threaten people when they wrong us. They did a lot of wrong against Jesus. They mocked him. They lied against him. They said all manner of evil against him. things that he didn't do. They accused him of doing. But he just kept mum. Even Pilate said, can't you open your mouth and defend yourself? Look at all the things they are saying about you. All these things are lies. Won't you defend yourself? Jesus just kept quiet. Why? Because Peter shows us that while Jesus kept quiet, his heart was towards the Father that judges righteously. He didn't need to justify himself. He trusted in the Father, that the Father would justify him. And now verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. So Isaiah said the sacrifice of Jesus bore our sins. Matthew said the sacrifice of Jesus bore our sicknesses. So we don't need any other sacrifice. Say to yourself, I don't need any other sacrifice. Jesus has done it all. He did a perfect job on the cross of Calvary for me. And I believe with all my heart that that which Jesus did for me over 2,000 years ago, I enjoy today by faith in Jesus' name. I believe the report of the Lord with all my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's turn to Psalm 103. We're just going to one-on-one with the Lord read this as a means of thanking God in faith for what he has already done. If you are sick in your body, believe God that the power of Christ himself removes that sickness from your body. You don't need to struggle with it. Jesus carried it, and he knows how to make you free from it. Whosoever the Son shall set free, Bible says, shall be free indeed. He will finish in you physically what he already finished for you spiritually. Just believe. Just believe. That's why even David, under the old covenant, saw ahead of time what Jesus will come to do for us on the cross. And he released his faith to be a partaker of the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice for us. If David could do it under the old covenant, how much more you and I now under the new? Psalm 103, let's read together verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Amen. So thank God, Jesus already did it all. And he said, come and enjoy the benefit of what I've already done. David saw it ahead of time, before Jesus came to do it physically in this realm. He saw it in the spirit and released his faith, and began to praise the Lord for those benefits. He began to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my soul blesses you for forgiveness of my sins. My soul blesses you for healing for my sicknesses. My soul blesses you for redemption from every destruction of the enemy in all areas of my life. Because I see that by your sacrifice on the cross, you will bring liberty to me from the curse of the law. If he did it then, we can do it now. And even do it with better understanding. So go ahead right where you are. Let your soul commune with God. Just thank him. Whatsoever benefit you need. If you have any consciousness of any sin, just thank God that Jesus already took it from you. Therefore, you don't have to allow that consciousness of sin to remain in you. Just thank God you are free from that sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from that unrighteousness. If you have any sickness in your body, just thank God that Jesus took the sickness from you. And you don't have to harbor that sickness in your life anymore. Just praise God that the power of Christ Himself removes the physical symptoms of that sickness from your life. In the name of Jesus. And if there are areas where the enemy, the devil, has been trying to cause trouble for you in any area of life, just remember Jesus redeemed you from the destruction of the enemy. The devil who has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Just thank God Jesus already redeemed you. And say, I bless you, Lord Jesus, for my redemption. You see, He knows how to deal with the enemy in your life in those situations. While you are blessing Him, He will walk for you in the realm of the Spirit and give you the victory. That's how the children of Israel won many of their battles. Remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the army of Jehoshaphat, they were just praising God, saying, for the Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. And Bible says while they were praising Him, God Himself set an ambushment against the enemy to destroy one another. The children of Israel didn't need to fight in their own might. God fought for them while they were praising Him. No wonder David began to bless the Lord. He just began to praise God for the benefit. He just began to say, Lord, my soul bless. I praise you. I thank you. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for healing. For all my sickness, all my disease. Thank you for redemption of my life from all destruction. Thank you for crowning me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for satisfying my mouth with good things and renewing my youth as the eagles. Even in old age, I'll still be strong and valiant. See, that's how to do it. You have to agree with God and call those things in faith for them to manifest in your life personally. So go ahead and thank God for them. And if you have loved ones who need those benefits, thank God that Jesus ministers those things to them also. You see, while Jesus was here on earth, many people came to Him in the behalf of their loved ones. Some came to Him for their servants. Some came to Him for their daughters. Some came to Him for their sons. But see, Jesus is always there to help us every time we come to Him in faith. So stand in the gap for your loved ones who need the benefits of salvation. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you. Our souls delight in you. We believe and receive the benefits of what you did for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Today we enjoy them. We possess them by faith and we thank you for them. We possess them for ourselves who are in the service this morning. We possess them for our loved ones who are not here. And every saint of God everywhere in all the face of the earth, we possess the benefits for each and everyone because we are one family in you, you said. When one part suffers, all the other parts suffer together with it. When one part rejoices, all the other parts rejoice together with it. And so, Lord, thank you for sending your healing virtue to everyone in your church everywhere to make your people whole, whole in spirit, whole in soul, whole in body. Physical wholeness, emotional wholeness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you all the glory. We praise you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus. Just keep thanking God. Just keep thanking Him. Let your soul continue to bless Him. Just don't stop now. In the name of Jesus. Because we are going to receive the elements of communion while we are still in that attitude of thanking the Lord.